what we have now is, we were bound in a system where 25%, historically, all the application were funded, immediately or after a while, and now we are down to whatever number, different institutes, different number, but let's say it's about half, and so. So we have created, a cadre of people that they always were between 10 and 20, and, those are suffering now. They have to write more applications, they have to close labs, which is, and those are good people. So.
And it seems like every year people want more money, that's something that they will always want, but it does feel, certainly talking to researchers, that there is a real tension going on. There is a lot of people are saying things are worse now than they've ever been.
Look at the housing market,
The housing market. What do you mean?
Well, there is an overcapacity and, we recruit a lot of, during the doubling, we didn't recruit anybody, but, a lot of institutions, build places, recruit a lot of people, so create a lot of capacity that, need to be sustained. And at the moment, the model they use for sustenance is not there in the sense that, the expectation to build a building and everybody get recruited with $2,000 might not be sustainable, which is...
I really liked the point that you had about remaking peer review as a learning experience. And that goes into something we were talking about before, should it be a mentorship? How did that disappear and when?
It disappeared in the sense that, people are too busy now to write their own grant, to review grant, frustrated now that they have to review the same grant two or three times, and it's a lot of time, a lot of effort that goes into the process. Everybody has to write more grants just to pay their own salary, their own research, and so they have less time. There is a stress on the system because... this cadre of people, which were half of the people that were happy with their research, funded between 10 and 20%. There is a variety from institute to institute. And now you need to write, revise and revise application because it's almost a line waiting. And that is what put a stress on the system. And what put a stress on the system was that, we were supposed to review 50,000 applications now, receiving 50,000 and we're receiving 80,000. So that is a stress on the system. So,
So it changed once the reviewers themselves had a harder time getting their own applications.
Absolutely.
Did that start, when would you say that started, around 5 years ago or something?
It started
like
exactly about 5 years ago, you're right, just in the middle of the doubling of an NIH budget.
Okay. We asked a question in an article about a year ago now. Where we asked the community whether we were training too many scientists. What do you think to that? What's your answer to that
question? We asked several times the question, without having any study or an analysis up my head, one can say that, it would be easy to assume that in medical school, in major university, they would be not growth for a while, based on that. The issue is that I don't think we have a good number of how many people we need to train for industry, for biotechnology, for going back to different countries. Like, in the past, we were training people from different countries and they were staying all here, essentially. Now they're going back. So we need more than a number because... And also we need to have a number, that is a good estimate that I was less asked when I was a professor, the question, how many students should I train to replace myself?
Yeah.
Right? And the issue is, it's not one-to-one, like you can be a doctor, another doctor replace another doctor, better or worse. But here maybe you want to have some competition, so only 1 out of 10 would be professor,
right.
or whatever number it is. So this is why some of those metrics are quite... I don't think we have a good number of how many the industry require. We don't know how many other countries require. We need a policy to see whether, America was very smart and very lucky to... pick up talent from different countries that for free, essentially, and then make them work in here. Now we may have some of the reverse, and you know, to which extent. So it's not an easy number to get. This is why it's, it seems to be an easy question, but you know, is it is much simpler to do if you. If you are, you know, in a profession like engineering or medicine, whereby something is applied and there are some good number, of, you know, actually I don't think they're that good, but at least you know they are more straightforward. I think in terms of a manpower need for a society, I don't think for science we have it, and if we have it, I'm not aware.
Are there any institutes or other countries, I know you mentioned Australia, that you think are doing this process well, doing a good job of evaluating applications?
What is something that you know, somebody should mention sometime is when you go to different countries, and I'm consulting now for Australia, Sweden, a bunch of other countries, Israel, is they are so appreciative of what we do here. Essentially, they're copying our system.
Okay.
Peer review was invented 150 years ago with the yellow fever by the military, essentially. And then it became NIH. So the difference in these countries, all the federal money essentially goes out of peer review. If you go in Australia, it was only 5%, and now it's 20%. And what happened in other countries, all the three, Israel, Sweden, and Australia, the NIH equivalent budget that in Australia is called National Health MRC has quadrupled, you know, not double, quadrupled in just a few years. And so this is a reflection of our doubling. So, you know, it was contagious and a lot of countries actually adopted there. Ironically, they seem to have... some of our problem that, you know, they quadrupled the money and the number of the application didn't go as, certainly didn't quadruple, and, you know, everybody declared dividend and stuff like that. But so we showed example of many industrialized countries, even England to a certain extent, I don't know whether it's double or so, but significantly, to, you know, sort of imitate us and to put more money, which is, you know, research is planet-wide, and therefore, you know, if they spend more money, it means that the biomedical research improves for everybody in this planet, which is very positive.
We had an economist sort of analyze the pattern of the NIH growth, and he said that he thought some of the problem was that it doubled in a very short period of time, and he thought it would have been better if it had doubled, but over a longer period, so you had a constant increase every year.
His wishes are true now, because we double and now we stop for 5 years, so you know, we're back to where we started.
Right. Do you think that that would have made it, like looking back, is there a way, can you see what could have been done to make the peer review process a little smoother?
You know, the scientific community made a case for having more money and the government to supply those. Now the issue is, did we spend it well? You know, I think we did.
Are the NIH study sections going through more changes than usual, or is it always changing at a certain level?
No, there was a changing, you know, all the time. So there was a major organization that NIH and CSR invested a tremendous amount of time to organize all the study sections, to group them in different things. And so since then, since I came here, we're looking at whether a good job was done, and so we evaluate each one. And we're also looking at, you know, even if we did a good job at that time, you know, 5-7 years later, maybe, you know, the way to review would be different. And you can hear now, it's resonating all the open house that, you know, the system we have is not good enough to do complex, you know, application with several era distinct and complementary science, and this is one of the struggles in addition to a lot of others. So no, it's not a destination, it's a journey.
Is there anything that the average scientist, biomedical scientist, can do to get involved in to study in improving the system, the peer review here?
This is why, you know, we are open, we're transparent, and we ask for, you know, this is an example, but it's not the only one. Every comment is evaluated. Usually, I answer within, 6-8 hours to every comment we have.
Okay.
And it's on nice C drive on the computer and whatever I left on my brain, and it circulated around, and it's our job now is really listen. I mean, we have the best and the brightest, so just listen to them. But also we need somehow to focus and to synthesize whatever, and then try to figure out this is why we have two committees, you know. One is with idea, we synthesize, but then we need somebody to make it work in here, to take it, and it's sort of an engineering problem because everything you change is a lot of consequence. So it doesn't mean to be negative, actually, but, you know, we need both for different reasons.
Yeah.
No, it's exciting.